live from Arlington, Virginia. What up? What up? This is the Gustav Baller Show. We're here at the Watermark Hotel. Max and I are fucking around, drinking PBRs and some Copper Fox rye. Some of the best whiskey I've ever had. What's up, Max?
I'm just so sick of you.
Just so our listeners know, here's a little background about what's been going down. Max and I have been hanging out for the last 72 hours
without each other's throats.
We're ready to kill each other. I already burned myself. I got second degree burns on my leg.
On his dick.
And on my dick.
happened in the first 2 hours.
That literally happened like before anything else happened. Before we even said two words to each other, I burned my dick like really badly with some hot tea.
Pretty good.
Before we even get going here, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Where the fuck are those Pringles?
I left them at Wegmans.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I thought we were just doing the Cheez-It tasting.
Bro, I don't give a shit about the Cheez-It
tasting. You said you didn't want Pringles because they were too salty.
I said I love Pringles.
No, and you didn't.
Not salty enough.
No, you didn't.
No.
You said they were too salty.
No.
You said so much sodium. You said sodium instead of salt. That's how I know you're just a little...
Oh, God, I'm going to kill you in your sleep.
This is the first time we've ever done an episode in person.
That's true.
And you know what? It's nice to have a little Zoom separation from you.
Mm.
I can't stand looking at you. That's why I opened the window behind you so I could look at the fake skyscrapers.
Yeah, we are in a fake town here, over here in Tyson's, actually. I think I said we were in Arlington before. We were in Arlington earlier doing a recital, but now we are in Tyson's, Virginia. And,
it's like a company town for Capital One. And this hotel, it's like the Shining Hotel. It's so empty. We're the only ones here. It's very, very strange.
But it's like updated. It's like a modern Shining.
Yeah.
It's like super fancy. There's like a pool table and shit and like a out, like a beer garden. There might have been a pool table.
Ping pong. Or not ping pong. Putt-putt.
Oh, you got to have putt-putt.
Yeah. Well, anyways. Listen. Today's... history lesson is coming from the expert himself.
Yep.
It's about the history of the saxophone. Yep. An instrument no one likes, an episode no one asked for, but it's the best we can do on a limited budget and limited time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So we're talking today about the history of the saxophone.
And then we're going to fill you in on some other stuff that we've been working on. Which, if you listen to this show, we're already friends and you know what it is.
And you probably don't care because you know.
I don't even care.
Exactly. Because you know Max doesn't care and you also know that we're a couple of idiots who don't know shit about shit. so we're going to begin today's show with a history lesson about the saxophone. The history. In fact, we're going to be talking about the inventor of the saxophone. Mm-hmm. The saxophone is an instrument a lot of people... don't really know the real history about. yeah, this is complicated and it kind of...
Is it from like a QAnon?
Yeah, yes. It is a bit of... It's definitely like conspiracy leaning.
Okay.
It has a conspiracy bent, the story I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
The saxophone was invented by Paul McCartney. And I know a lot of people think, oh, Adolf Sax, that's their first thought, but that is not actually true. Paul McCartney invented the saxophone.
Like the same Paul McCartney that's in the Beatles.
Yep. Yeah. He died.
Did the Beatles use any saxophone ever?
Yeah. All the time. Paul McCartney invented it. So he actually only played saxophone in the Beatles.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize.
So all the images of him playing guitar are photoshopped.
Yeah, definitely. And that's where the conspiracy comes into play.
I see.
Yeah. And so Paul McCartney died, but they cloned him. So he lived on, but
the Paul McCartney that's alive right now is a clone.
Is a clone. And the original Paul McCartney
who cloned him?
Pretty sure it was John Lennon because he was really deep into cloning. But the original Paul McCartney, and I'm going to tell everybody now, this is complicated, but he's actually not dead. The original Paul McCartney went back in time. traveled back to 1846.
Uh-huh.
When another man named Adolf Sax was about to patent his instrument.
Uh-huh.
Called the saxophone.
Okay.
And Paul McCartney said, no, I invented this instrument, and he took credit for it.
Okay.
Yeah. So he killed Adolf Sax.
Oh.
Yeah. And Adolf Sax, okay.
Did Paul McCartney also invent time travel?
No.
Who invented time travel?
See, here's where it gets complicated. Adolf Sax. Adolf Sax.
He invented time
travel. Invented time travel. And because he also invented the saxophone. No, wait, hang on. I'm getting confused. No, because Paul McCartney invented the saxophone. He was able to travel back in time to when Adolf Sax invented time travel to tell him that he invented the saxophone.
Okay.
I'm
not sure I follow.
I don't think I might have lost my thread there, but bottom line is that there's a lot of misconceptions around this instrument.
Yeah.
And it should never have been invented in the first place.
That's for sure.
Because it's the worst instrument. It has the worst rep and nobody likes it.
It's all true.
Yeah. This is all
classical saxophone.
Yeah.
People like jazz saxophone.
That's true. We should be clear. Jazz saxophone is very cool and cultured.
All right. So what was Adolf's purpose in inventing this instrument? It's not every day you just wake up and invent an instrument. Why did he do it?
Right. Adolf Sax was kind of a weird dude. And actually, this is true. He almost died like 15 times when he was a kid.
I think we talked about that
on the
movie pod.
Oh, really? Because
I want to see a movie about his life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he would make a good movie. It would be a lot like Back to the Future.
Also a great movie.
Also a really good movie. I could see like a movie, maybe a trilogy about Adolf Sax that's kind of like, maybe like directed by David Lynch.
Okay.
He would be a really good director for an Adolf Sax movie series.
You're really into David Lynch. Keep bringing him up.
Yeah. David Lynch, one of my favorite filmmakers. Twin Peaks, great. I love the music for Twin Peaks. It is probably the best music of any TV show.
The new Twin Peaks or the old one?
It has the same music. But
the
old one.
The best?
It's so good.
Okay, let me tell you something.
Okay.
I've never seen Twin Peaks.
Sure.
Not an episode of my life.
Okay.
And I've tried several times, but the fucking credit music is so bad, I can't get past it. I'm not going to watch a whole series where I can't stand the credit music, and that's just the credits. There's going to be interstitial shit all the time. There's going to be fucking post-show credit music. It's some of the worst music I've ever heard in my life.
I am shocked. Appalled and shocked. And we shouldn't be friends anymore. Because it's my favorite.
Why?
My favorite TV. Because so it captures the sinister, like, quality of, like, the real villains in that show. Which are, like, kind of, like break the barriers of, like, time and space. It's hard to explain without no. You never watched the show, right?
I can't because you make it past like the second or third name.
Yeah, because you can't get past the music.
Yeah,
yeah. The music is really good. It's hard to explain how it's good. Here's what I will say. Well, no, they just the most recent season, which came out a few years ago, is like a continuation of the story. But David Lynch collaborated with a composer who just passed away recently, Angelo Badalamenti. They collaborated together and David Lynch was like, okay, here's the vibe of the show. Here's what happens. Here's what I want. And I think they kind of had like a lot of like back and forth about how the music unfolds. And it's like, it blends a lot of like synthesizer music, but also with some weird acoustic stuff going on too.
I think that's my, it sounds so tied to like the 80s.
Yeah.
I just can't like, it's not just Twin Peaks. It's like all 80s music.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get into.
Yeah.
It's so defined by like the sounds, like it sounds so dated now to me that I just can't like, I don't know what the fuck it is.
Yeah. Well, we should check it out together and I'll show you why it's cool.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's really good. But anyway, back to Adolf Sax. Let's see. He almost drowned. He almost got poisoned.
Didn't he eat a screw?
Yeah, he loved screws. He ate a ton of screw every day for breakfast. He popped them like a, you know, yeah. He ate nails. He really liked to eat stuff that was bad for him. Yeah. Hang on a second. I need a little more whiskey. Okay. Here, everybody, take a listen to the best sound in the world. That's a nice sound. That is the sound of ice. So here's another thing that's happening on the podcast tonight is that Max and I have a heated debate going on right now regarding Cheez-Its and the different type of Cheez-Its that exist. There is the toasted Cheez-It, which extra is supposed toasty. To be extra toasty.
Yeah.
And I don't buy it. I think it's bullshit marketing.
I think it's food coloring.
I think it's food coloring. I think it tastes exactly the same. And I'm going to prove him wrong tonight on the pod where we do a side-by-side
blind taste test. I have to choose which one is the right one.
Okay. That's really exciting. So that's coming up later in the pod. So I just wanted to get everybody excited about that now.
It's really interesting in an oral medium like podcasting to do like a visual thing.
Yeah, yeah. I
think that's or like fun. A gastronomic thing like eating. This is going to be really good for the listeners.
Right, right. Eating is fun. I mean, yeah, you know. We can describe the scene.
Okay, you didn't fucking tell me why the saxophone was invented.
All right, so Adolf Saxophone was an instrument maker, and the saxophone was used. Actually, you know, it was used a lot originally in like military bands. Because it projected a lot. Like, it was kind of used to replace some of, like, the, like, reed instruments, like, that are typically in orchestra, like bassoon and oboe. But the saxophone was like, projected really nicely. So, like, military bands used it instead of a bassoon, for example, when they did, like, marching stuff. And Adolf Sax was connected with some composers who worked at who were teachers at Paris Conservatory in the 1840s. One composer in particular, Jean-Baptiste Sangelais, and he worked with Adolf Sax to write a ton of repertoire for the instrument because he knew it was a new instrument. Like, there was nothing written for it, like nothing original written for it. So he was like, all right, like, I'm going to write a ton of shit. So a lot of the earliest saxophone music was written by this guy, Sangelais. He wrote like probably 40 saxophone pieces.
Too many.
Way too many. He didn't know that the instrument was a piece of shit. He thought it sounded really cool, but turns out it doesn't.
Yeah.
So he blew it.
Talk to me a little bit about the design of the instrument and how it's changed over time.
So the saxophone is a woodwind instrument, even though it looks like it's made of metal, but it's a woodwind because the piece that vibrates inside of your mouth is made of wood. So it has like kind of a reedy tone. It doesn't really sound like a brass instrument, even though like visually it looks like, you know, like the same color as like a trumpet or a trombone or something.
Is that what woodwind means?
Yeah, like the thing that produces the sound is what you would use to classify that instrument. So the wood is what actually produces the sound because the reed, which goes on the mouthpiece of the saxophone, is made of wood.
So what's flute?
Flute is also woodwind, but that's just because it used to be made of wood.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Flutes are not made of wood anymore.
Thank God.
Yeah, fuck wood.
Okay. Wow, that's it. Okay. I learned something new today.
Yeah, I didn't want that to happen. I wanted you to come away with this with being very confused. So, I am so fucking tired, bro.
I'm so tired.
We got fucked up like a couple nights ago and stayed up until like 3 a.m. And I wasn't...
But we were working.
We were working really hard. We were. We were also shit-faced, really but that's okay, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. The design of the instrument.
Oh, design of the instrument. Basically set up...
it's a woodwind.
Woodwind, but also, like, just in terms of, like, the fingering and everything, it's pretty much set up, like in the way that, like, a flute is... it's got pearls, pads, keys, pads to cover the tone holes,
Adolf Sax choose flute as a model for the instrument? like, how did he, like, decide, like, the mechanism for, like, making notes and, like, the fingering combinations to make them? Like, how did all that come about?
Actually, yeah, the fingering combinations are really similar on woodwind instruments.
Just in general.
Just in general.
All of them.
Like, yeah, just to make it easy for players to double. Like, that's one of the reasons we have transposition. Transposition is this really stupid, fucked up thing where, like, people who play concert pitch instruments just roll their eyes at. But it's actually so that... it's so that, like, a player can play, like, you know, like, seven different types of woodwind instruments, and it doesn't change the fingering pattern. Like, they don't have to learn a whole new set of fingerings if they're looking at different notes.
Oh.
They just play the same notes and the same fingering patterns, and it's a lot easier to play those instruments, like, at and achieve, like, at a higher artistic level. And, like, oh, okay, I'm going to play the flute, oboe. Like, if you're, like, somebody who doubles or on, like, Broadway or something, like, you don't have to learn a whole fucking new set of fingerings. It's like, you know, it's all the same shit. The only thing that's different is, like, the way that you shape your lips and mouth and use your airstream and all that shit. But the fingerings themselves are the same. So, like, if an instrument is pitched differently, it's just so that it can accommodate, like, people who double on different wood instruments.
Huh.
Yeah.
And he took that into consideration.
I mean, I think anybody who's going to make a woodwind instrument does.
Is saxophone the most recent, like, instrument invented that's, like...
part of, like, classical music world?
Yeah. Or that's made its mark?
I mean... yeah, let me think. Well, I guess, yeah, like, acoustic instrument.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. And okay. Honestly, the design, the original design of the saxophone hasn't changed all that much. What has changed is maybe, like, the placement of the keys. For example, I have a, like, really old tenor from, like, the 1920s where the left-hand pinky mechanism is just, like, really far over to, like, the left side, and you have to move your pinky in a weird way. Modern saxophones, like, corrected that and just have it placed in an... like a position that's a little easier to access. But, like, the original saxophone was pretty much, it's very similar to, like, modern saxophones. There's very subtle differences, just to, like, accommodate those kinds of things. But
when I lived in Boston, I used to go to the Museum of Fine Arts all the time, and they have an instrument collection.
Mm-hmm.
And they have in their collection the earliest surviving saxophone from Adolf Sax's studio.
Oh, sick.
And it looks pretty much the same. Like,
yeah.
In a way where, like, pianos don't look the same from their earliest, like, ancestors.
Yeah.
I mean, there's keys, but they don't look.
Yeah.
Anyways. Okay, so he invents this instrument, Jean-Baptiste Sangelais, who no one has ever heard of.
Nobody gives a shit about writing, this guy.
Okay, do composers who people do give a shit about start accept the instrument? Or, like,
yeah.
what's its, like, trajectory into... like, where it is today. Because even today, it's, like, still kind of on the outside of the... because there's not, like, many orchestral pieces that call for saxophone.
Yeah. Yeah, so many orchestras program music, like, you know, before, like, let's say 18... whatever. Like, a lot of composers, like... yeah, okay, so to answer your first question, a composer who used saxophone right away was Berlioz.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a lot of really cool Berlioz music that has saxophone. He has, like, some military marches and stuff and, like, some other stuff. I think maybe like, yeah, and, like, some other symphonic works. Some other composers that, like really well-known Western classical music composers that used saxophone, like, early on, Prokofiev.
Oh, yeah, and Suite for Three Oranges.
Yeah, and there's also, I think, in...
but that's probably, like, 1920-something.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, and there's also, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Like, I was thinking, like, obviously the Berg, like,
is it the violin concerto?
Concerto has saxophone. Oh, Ravel Bolero has saxophone.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people who used it, but
probably Berlioz is the best 19th century example of a composer that, like, sure. People... That like, an important composer.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, I think, like there's some saxophone parts in, like, Strauss.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
What else? I don't remember the pieces.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. But then, like obviously, like, so many contemporary music composers have used saxophone. Like, like it's such a versatile instrument that like people who are writing contemporary music that has like a lot of virtuosity in it, like they're like, oh, saxophone can do this, this, and this.
All right, well, tell us about those, these, and these.
Like, for example, like saxophone has a really wide range and it's becoming wider. In other words, the really, like, yeah, like people, yeah, they keep extending the range by like just like inventing their own fingerings and like, you know, it getting higher and higher. It has a terminal low part that can only go below, it can only go so low, but like the highest range of the saxophone is like very, very nebulous. Like in the way
that a lot of— Is this limit unknown?
I mean, in the way that a lot of woodwind instruments are, if you just squeeze your lips hard enough, it's higher pitch is going to come out, right? Yeah. If you just develop a technique that allows you to do it consistently, that's the thing. It's like, sure, I can chew on my reed until like a ridiculously high note comes out, but can I apply that to a classical piece and do it the same way every time? Yeah, maybe not.
Hmm.
Like, yeah, I mean, the practical range is probably like, you know, it's like 2.5 octaves or 3 octaves or something, somewhere in that range. But like people can, you know, play pretty high.
Yeah.
And then also you can play pretty fast. Like it's pretty easy to just close the keys and open the keys, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, it's a little less clunky maybe than like, I don't know, like a bassoon or a bass clarinet. Not yeah. that those instruments can't be played smoothly, of course, like obviously, but I'm just saying like, it's, you know, there's certain stuff on the saxophone that is, it's an instrument that's designed to like be pretty durable and flexible. And, you know, it's like designed to be played outside, like in a military band.
Yeah. The way it's loud as shit.
Yeah. It's loud. It's, you can play fast, but you could also play really soft. It has that a really wide dynamic range.
Mm.
Whereas maybe like, you know, like, for example, really good example is flute. Flute is really hard to play soft, especially in the high register, because yeah. you need a certain amount of air.
Ken Andrews always used to say, like, you see that note, high C? You just put the fingers down. It's already too loud.
Exactly. Yeah, flute dynamic range is really tough to handle and deal with.
Because it's so quiet in the low range, and those mm-hmm. notes don't cut through anyways.
Yeah, yeah. Meanwhile,
flute the saxophone has one dynamic.
Yeah.
Or two, maybe. Too loud and not loud enough.
Maybe a flute player would tell you differently, but
I don't see any flute players here.
Fuck them. Get the fuck out of here. Oh, shit about Cheez-Its. What?
What?
They don't know shit about Cheez-Its. They're not going to be on tonight's pod. We have the feature, the Cheez-It feature.
Okay. Oh, what other question I have? You... got a horn from the 1920s that's different from the horn you have now.
Yeah.
You told me yesterday, like, about that thing. You can't play really fast on it yet because you haven't, like, trained your finger to go there. Mm-hmm. And you said there's no altissimo, there's no high range on it. I don't know how that's possible. But also, so my question is, like, how often are saxophones being updated? Like, if you get a horn today and then you buy a new horn in 10 years, is it going to be different than the one you buy today? Is like, the actual physical instrument still in development?
No, I mean, there might be like little subtle changes. Like, I would say the most significant change is like, and I don't really know when this happened, but at some point, the highest note was F natural. And at some point, maybe like, I don't know, 40, 50 years ago, they added like an F sharp, like a high F sharp.
Oh, key. Shit.
They added like another hole that you can push and like another button you can push that activates another pad that opens another tone hole, so you can play a high F sharp in like a in like the natural range before you access what's called like the altissimo register. And what I was talking before about that old horn that I have, I said it doesn't have a high register. It doesn't have this thing called a front F, which is how you play, like, it's how you get all those high notes in a way that's more comfortable. Again, I can squeeze my lips and bite the reed and like use my airstream and do all kinds of weird shit with my embouchure.
Even on this old instrument?
Sure. Yeah. I can squeak out all kinds of high notes, but yeah. It's not practical because it's missing this one mechanism that kind of makes it so.
Who invented that mechanism?
I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe the Selmer people.
A big saxophone.
Yeah. They don't give a shit. They don't know shit about Cheez-Its, bro.
Okay. You clearly want Cheez-Its.
Bro, this is the Cheez-It episode.
It's supposed to be the saxophone episode. Dude. I know you don't even care about saxophone.
You think I care about the saxophone?
I know you don't.
I will throw my saxophone right off this 11th floor. Wait.
No, 13th floor.
13th floor. What's on the 11th floor?
The lobby.
Oh, bro. That's where the pool table is.
Yeah, but it's so fucked. Give me a lobby on the first floor.
Yeah.
Why is the lobby on the 11th floor?
What's going on?
And buildings with more than 13 stories aren't supposed to have a 13th floor. This is supposed to be the 14th floor.
Yeah. Also, okay. You guys, the first night we were here, we got locked out of our room like a bunch of fucking idiots.
Yeah, someone, a ghost shut the do not disturb latch after we left the room.
It's really hard to, again, great thing to talk about on a podcast. It's really hard to visualize what's going on here. But our deadbolt thing is like broken. And when we closed the door, like the latch came off.
A ghost did it.
Oh. We're haunted up here in the 13th floor. That's right.
Yeah, and then you burned your dick.
That was the same night I burned my fucking dick off. God damn it.
Okay. One other thing I'd like you to discuss is that saxophone, more than any other instrument, has like a secondary trajectory, which is jazz. No other instrument so clearly has their like lineage wrapped up in jazz.
Yep.
How'd that come to be?
Well,
and how do you feel about it? I know you hate jazz.
I hate jazz and I fucking hate the saxophone. So yeah,
enlightening.
Not going to answer that question.
Okie dokie.
Suck it. No. I would say that I think that's kind of cool. Like, saxophone really is a jazz instrument deep down. Like, it's not, if it was just fucking Sanjale, you know, if it was like invented and then like some random composers wrote some classical music for it and then it disappeared, sure, great. It's like the fucking, you know.
It's like the arpeggione.
It's like some other random obscure instrument. But because American jazz is like, became just so iconic, and like saxophone players in the early part of jazz history, especially Coleman Hawkins, the tenor saxophone became popular because of Coleman Hawkins. Like, nobody really played it before this guy.
Oh, wait a second. So I have another question then. What saxophone did Adolf invent first?
Well, he had a whole bunch of them. There's one called C melody sax, which is actually pitched in C. But then there were some lower pitched ones.
But what was the first one?
The one that became popular here first was the alto and the C melody.
That's not the question I'm asking. What was the first one that he invented?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say because he had this thing first called the sax horn, which then became the saxophone. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know when like it became like the alto and the tenor. I don't know.
It's so funny that it's like if you invented an instrument and it would be called the Natale horn.
Yeah. He just uses
his last name was Sax.
Yeah, his last name was Sax.
Sousaphone.
No, his last name was McCartney, you bitch. You got it all fucking wrong. I told you right in the beginning of this episode, this was going to be challenging to explain because of the time warp.
Okay. Okay. So before Coleman Hawkins made the tenor popular, people were just playing the alto?
And probably like the C melody, the one that's pitched in C, which I don't know why is it called the C melody? I don't know. Why didn't they just call it the C?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know shit. I don't know. That's a good question. I guess the alto. People were playing the alto a lot. I think that he also had a low one too. I mean, there was a baritone and a bass. He like invented all these different pitched instruments.
Was he just like a wacko, just inventing instruments all the time?
I think he was pretty nuts. Yeah.
How many different kinds of saxophone are in common usage today?
Soprano, alto, tenor, bass. I mean, I'm sorry, bari. Those are the four really popular ones. There's also a bass. And then there's a contrabass. Nobody plays the fucking contrabass. I've never even seen a contrabass.
Which one is the tubax?
Actually, that's not true. I have seen a contrabass. I don't know. I think a tubax is like, was maybe not invented by Adolf Sax.
Okay, that's like some modern abomination.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And but there's also a Sopranino.
Okay.
And then there's one above that called a Soprillo.
No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there's like a lot. I mean, there's a lot of
that's
different.
That's too pitched, high.
But like the main ones are the four, like soprano, alto, tenor, barry. So those are like the main ones. But yeah, there's all these fucking weird ass ones too. Like who the fuck wants all? First of all, it's the worst instrument, and it has the most versions. You know what I'm saying? Why does the worst instrument have so many different types?
Well, they're trying to get it right.
Yeah, I guess.
It's funny. You don't actually think it's the worst instrument.
No, I actually really like the saxophone.
It's and maybe like it's the worst designed.
Uh-huh.
Maybe.
Maybe.
But there's actually a lot to admire about it, especially when you play like fucked up music. Like, I fucking hate the piano for a lot of reasons. Like, there's no vibrato. There's not an incredible dynamic range. Like, I can't screech and just like make tons of crazy noises. Like, that's saxophone is really good for that stuff.
That's true.
If you want to sound bad, play the saxophone.
Yeah. But in a good way.
Yeah. I mean, sure. Are you tired of talking about saxophone?
No. I'll take. I'm just like, fuck.
I'm fucking mad tired.
Fucking fucked and tired.
This
rye is really good.
This is like a Scotch rye. It tastes like Scotch more than it tastes like rye.
It's really good though. Do you like it?
Yeah.
It's like complex.
Yeah, it's really complex.
It's like as complex as the saxophone. I can't believe I burned my dick, bro.
Nick and I lived together for 4 years in college, and I never saw his ass so much as I saw the night he burned his dick, because he just took his pants off and was crawling around on the floor, grabbing his junk.
And maybe did that like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah. I brought all this sleepy time tea to share with you, and you haven't had any tea since.
I haven't had any tea because I'm scarred, literally. Okay. Also, by the way, we played at the International.
Wait. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, just talk about it.
We played at the International Navy Band Symposium.
Yep. Let me ask you a question, though. How international is it if it's the U.S. Navy Band Symposium?
That is a really good question. I guess maybe they want people from other countries to come. Oh, my God. Oh, fucking. I feel like I'm going to die. Okay. Maybe they want other people to come from other countries. But I feel like that doesn't really happen just because the event is just kind of low key.
Yeah. Why is it held at George Mason? Jesus, are you okay?
Yeah. I think that...
Was George Mason a saxophone player as well as a slave owner?
Yeah, he's problematic. No, it's just because the location of the Navy Band, they're based in D.C. Oh. And that's like, the closest university that has like a music school that can... support that type of event.
Isn't like College Park closer?
To DC? Probably not.
Oh. I guess I don't really know the geography of this part of the country.
It's kind of a hassle to get over to College Park. And I think maybe George Mason's music school is a lot bigger.
Okay.
And probably can support the amount of people who come through, like us.
I got waitlisted at College Park.
Nice.
For my DMA. And then they didn't let me in.
What a bunch of dicks.
I'm glad I'm not there right now.
Yeah, they would have burned your dick right off.
And I would let them do it.
That'd be great.
That's a little too much dick talk. Hey, dick talk. It's like an app for dick pics.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Talk about the fucking.
Yeah. So basically we were like, we went to George Mason University and we were going to play this piece called Aria, but we told them to go fuck themselves. And we actually didn't play. Mm-mm. And we.
No, that's true. We did play it.
Oh, we did?
It's a piece we wrote.
Oh. We were going to play this piece, Aria, that we wrote.
We were going to.
Yeah, we were going to, but it didn't happen. That's what I'm trying to say.
What happened instead?
It didn't happen, bro.
What did we do instead this morning?
We got, okay, so it was crazy, bro. We got there.
Uh-huh.
And the guys were like, oh.
They were like, you can come in this room and suck us off. And Nick was like, okay, I'll see you later. And I was like, Nick.
Actually, okay, no, I'm just fucking around. We actually did play it and it went really well and it was a lot of fun.
There were five whole people there.
That it was,
which is actually five more than I expected.
Yeah, it's true. Of course, at these events, they schedule like six performances at the same time. And like, no, you know, it's, we were in the fucking chorus room. Like, who the fuck goes to the chorus room? It, you know, but it was really fun. And yeah, I think it was, I think the people who were there enjoyed it.
Yeah. And if they didn't, fuck them.
Fuck them.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah. And oh, yeah. What else happened? Oh, my God. We had the best fucking English pasties for lunch. Holy shit. They were so good.
They were really good.
I was...
I guess... I mean, Virginia is one of the original colonies.
I guess.
I guess they would have good British food.
This place has been around for like 15 years, bro. What the fuck do you think it's been around?
I don't think it's an original restaurant from the colonies, colonial times. I'm just saying there's a colonial history here. They probably make good British food. In so far as good British food can exist.
Yeah, British
food. Because it's a disgusting.
It's a disgrace to food.
All right. Let's take a break.
Oh, yeah.
We'll come back. We'll tell about some other stuff that we're working on that everyone already knows about who's listening to this. And then we're going to do the thing that people really want to know about. The blind
Pringles test.
Taste test.
No, I mean,
not Pringles.
We don't have any fucking Pringles here. God damn it. I'm so pissed off about the Pringles. God damn it.
Oh. I'm getting kind of drunk.
Just a little bit. Me too. Yeah, this is the Guzai Baller Show. You guys, this has been...
taking a break.
Oh, my. We will see you
Don't say
in... This is the shit we should have been doing all along, bro.
I like that music you wrote, but I like this music slightly better.
This music's
suck my dick. If you suck my dick, I will then I'll suck your dick. Suck my dick. Suck on my dick.
Jeez. What a fucking weird couple of idiots. Sick. Dude, that song is so good.
This is the best song ever written.
That literally
That's the shit you got to put on the fucking satellite to send out of the solar system.
I was going
to
say, what are we doing with Bach, bro?
Get the Goldberg variations off that. Nobody, you think some alien civilization is going to hear boom, boom, ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum, ba-da-da-dum, and think we're sick?
Gonna be like,
they're gonna be like, let's kill those motherfuckers. They're soft as shit.
They ain't swinging.
They don't swing. They didn't even discover swung eighth notes.
Meanwhile, you
wait. Actually, there might be jazz on that record.
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal though. It ain't track one. They're gonna hear track one, and they're gonna be like, we're gonna kill these bitches. Here's the thing. Hold if on. You put Groove Merchant up, what the fuck?
I'm gonna look what's on the record. If you put Groove Merchant as track one, ain't no one coming to Earth.
Ain't nobody like, coming to Earth.
These dudes are bad as fuck.
Okay.
Voyager record.
Didn't we do a show about the Voyager?
Shh. I was drunk then.
Sick.
I don't remember what's on it. What's on the record? Music. Bach, number one. Brandenburg Concerto, number two.
Big mistake.
Oh, but then they have some gamelan music. That's cool. Senegal percussion. Music from Zaire.
Sick.
Is it still called Zaire? I don't
know. I'm not sure. Okay, moving on.
Australia, Aboriginal songs. Oh, there's some Chuck Berry. That's good. Some music from Japan. Another Bach. You already put Bach.
You already got
it. You get one you Bach. Get,
yeah, I'm sorry. You got him once.
Mozart. That's it. Georgian Soviet Socialist Republic singing. Okay, so there's Louis Armstrong, but that's not swinging. There's another Bach piece. Hey, listen, I know I'm on my phone, but you put your phone away.
Okay, fair enough.
This is business. Okay, the closest we get to swinging on the Voyager record is Melancholy Blues, performed by Louis Armstrong in his Hot 7.
Wow.
But that predates like the modern swing feel. Louis doesn't swing.
No.
Does
it,
he?
It definitely predates me burning my dick off.
Well, I don't know what you want them to put on the Voyager record 20 years ago or whatever. Yeah, it's funny that...
They really blew it on that record, huh?
There are only... I appreciate that there's so much, like... Well, I don't know. It's weird. There's a lot of folk music, but they don't put European folk music. They put European art music.
Uh-huh.
And they put folk music from other cultures.
Okay.
So it's like, well, you should either put European folk music also, or you should put art music from other cultures to counterbalance the European art music. You know what I mean? There's too much Bach. There's Mozart. There's three Bach. There's one Mozart. There's Stravinsky, weirdly. And then a couple Beethoven things.
I think they thought we would really hook him with the Stravinsky. What is the single on that record? What is the one that they push out first?
Well, the first thing is... I'll show you. Give me a sec.
Which is the one that they did a music video to?
Do some Mad Lib.
Okay. Well, recently I went to a heavy metal show and I fucking blew my eardrums out. It was so damn loud. Also, by the way, one of these bands comes out. I forget what they're called.
Is Final Gasp.
Final Gasp. This guy comes out with a fucking long sword. I'm talking a fucking sword.
Okay. This is the single from the Voyager record. Fucking asshole.
Ah.
Please don't come to Earth. You're all PABs. This is the music we listen to.
Are you fucking...
They're basically asking aliens to come to kill us.
Oh my God.
Okay. All right, let's get back on track.
What are you talking about? We are on track. This is the track.
Oh, fuck. Let's get a new track.
Okay. Fair enough.
Give me some Cheez-Its.
Okay. We're going to begin probably the best part of this show, which is where I
get to snack.
Test Max on which one is the toasted Cheez-It and which one is the regular Cheez-It.
Are you going to give me one? Just give me one. Give me one.
I'm going to give you one.
Do I have to guess after I eat this one or do I get to taste another one?
You get to taste another one. Eat this one, you know, gather your thoughts, and then I'm going to give you a second one.
Okay.
So shut up about it.
Are you going to fucking lie if I'm right?
No. Okay, don't say shit to me. Just keep it in your head.
It's so fucking clear. Give me the next one.
Okay.
Okay. Fucking easy. Okay. Give me another one.
What do you mean?
Those were both the same. Those were both not toasty. You tried to trick me.
Oh, fuck this, bro. You are fucked. I am right. No, that's some bullshit. Stop. I'm going to stop this podcast. Right now.
No.
No. I gave you two different ones, bitch. You have to figure out which one is the toasted.
Give them to me in the same order.
Oh my God. I'm ready to just strangle you.
Same order.
Okay.
Don't fuck me.
I'm not going to fuck you. Let me make sure I'm right.
Yeah, why don't you make sure you're fucking right?
No, I'm right. I'm right.
Yeah, well, you don't know shit.
Let me eat these. I'm going to eat these myself.
You're going to fucking eat them now?
Yeah. No, I got a few of them. Same order.
Same order. Do not fuck me.
I am not fucking... If you... Okay.
I will.
This is the same order.
Okay.
Okay, here's the second one. This is the same order.
The first one is extra toasty.
You are angels. You're right. And that was the same order that I gave you the first time.
Okay.
I swear to God.
Okay. Do you believe in him?
Yeah.
You believe in God?
Sure. I sure do.
You sure do?
Sure do.
Tell me about this. This is news to me.
I believe in God.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me about him.
He's dope. He's fucking, he's what? Like... Not-
Oh, thank God. It's about to be the end of this friendship. No, I don't want anyone out there to think that I can't be friends with people who believe in God. I can't
be.
I just thought I knew you.
I don't give a shit. I get it. I get why that would be a problem in our relationship, but I don't give a shit what you
We got a lot of problems in our relationship.
And it starts with Cheez-Its.
Yeah, and I was right. It's not a marketing scam. Trust me, lots of things are marketing scams.
Yeah. Can you give me an example of a marketing scam?
Jelly, right? Strawberry jelly, raspberry jelly.
I never heard of it.
You never heard of fucking jelly? I can't with this motherfucker anymore. Does anyone want to be does anyone want to replace Nick as the host of the show? I fucking hate this guy. He doesn't even suck my dick. Okay, so I passed the test. They're different.
Yeah, and I actually kind of tasted.
Yeah, you kind of tasted too.
And I'm really upset about it.
Yeah, say you're sorry.
I'm sorry, Max.
Not to me, to Jesus.
I'm sorry, Jesus.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to do this episode is apologize.
Oh, we gotta
bring it back to our roots.
We gotta apologize.
Sorry we didn't have any episodes recently. We've been doing a lot.
A lot.
We got a lot in the pipeline.
Yeah.
And let's just share a little bit about that now.
Sure.
So atonement.
You gotta atone.
I always have to.
We got a whole segment about it. First off.
Oh, wait. Oh. No, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say.
I can't even remember what we talked about in the first half. We talked about the symposium. Did we talk about the other concert?
I think we talked about the Beatles.
You talked about the Beatles.
Okay. So we, okay, here's what we've been up to, basically. When was the last show? We did a show around Halloween, right?
No, we did, I think some came out in November, but we might not have put one out in December.
Okay. That's January. Yeah, it's not that, it hasn't been that long.
Yeah. But December, we were working really hard. We started working really hard on...
On Marxist Book Club.
Which is?
A punk band that Max and I are in, and only us are in.
Yeah. It's just us.
It's just us. So it's basically, it's a bunch of songs that Max and I have been writing for like almost, I would say like a year, I'd say. Right? Is that maybe?
No, no. Less, like 3 months, 4 months.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't know. Actually, maybe you're right. Maybe a year. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, okay. So some of the songs we wrote a while ago. Like the couple
one of the songs I started writing in 2013.
Oh. So we started like 10 years ago. No, but we kind of decided within this last year.
Yes. Okay, that's true.
That we were going to like actually put them together and put them out properly. And so we're going
to
do it.
Because Nick started learning how to use Ableton like out of fucking nowhere. And he's a fucking like Ableton genius.
It's been really fun. Sounds so good. It's been really fun to put some stuff together. And at the end of this episode, we're going to have a little sample of one of the songs. So we hope you stay
Well, it's like a whole song. We're going to put the whole song
on it. It's a whole ass song. It's one of the shorter songs on the album. But it's really fun. I think we're pretty proud of it, in all seriousness, and we're excited about it. And there's some really fun songs in the record. And
it's a nice combination of like just shut up, Max.
Okay. It's basically a punk rock
record. Yeah, it's just a punk rock album. Yeah. But it's great.
Yeah.
It's been really fun to like write songs again. I haven't written a song since like 2007 or so.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about it. Nick is great at using Ableton, making drum beats and shit that sound great. And
yeah, and this past weekend while we were hanging out, we recorded a ton of like vocal tracks, melodica, piano.
We went out and bought we went out and Nick bought a melodica, so we recorded some of that. Recorded a bunch of vocal tracks. When we were supposed to be warming up for our concert this morning, we were just recording piano tracks.
We commandeered a practice room. All these saxophone players were walking by like, oh man, I wish I had a practice room.
We're like, and suck our dicks.
Meanwhile, we're in there fucking like playing like punk songs and recording them. And we're just like, yeah, fuck it. Who gives a shit? We literally broke a piano because we were playing so loud. Like,
that's true. A screw came out of the bottom of the piano from, I've never seen that happen before.
So we left that practice room. We left that quickly.
So we have to do it a la Postal Service.
Yeah.
Like the old, is it Ben Gibbard? Is that the dude's name?
The guy from Death Cab for Cutie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like I record the tracks on GarageBand at home and I send them to Nick. And that was what most of our creative energy was going to. That, and also like editing all these scores for these pieces that we've been writing. So this morning we played at the saxophone symposium, and then tonight we gave another recital at a church in
Arlington,
Virginia. And we played all original music, and like we were spending a lot of time like editing those scores. So sorry.
It was sick. It was like we had lots of different projects going on this weekend, so it was pretty fun.
But also like this past month, and that's what we're apologizing for.
Yeah, so we're sorry. We're really sorry.
We're sorry. There was a lot going on.
A lot going on.
Here's a clip from the concert. The clip, the part of the concert that everyone loved the most.
Here we go.
Nothing matters!
Normally at that moment, we would pour a shot of whiskey and then take it. But we didn't want to do that because we were in a church. But we got yelled at. We got not castrated.
Instead of doing a shot of whiskey, we just decided to shout.
Yeah, but one of Nick's students gave us a problem because we didn't follow the directions in the score that say to take a shot of whiskey.
Oh yeah, oh my god, it's castigated? So funny. I don't know, man. I had a former student who was in the audience, and he's so funny. He's like just a great, great musician, and it's just like really fun, like to have a former student watching some of our more experimental pieces. And he's like, oh, this in the score. This is it says that you should be doing a shot of whiskey, but you actually did this. So, but it was funny because we just changed it up for this particular setting. But you never know who's in the audience who's going to notice the score.
But I might. I think it was good in the end.
A lot of people, I will say, we had a lot of people come up and they loved when we shouted, "Nothing matters." It was a lot of fun.
Because there's a big silence shortly after that moment, and everyone was thinking like, "Oh, damn, you know what? Like, nothing matters.
Nothing matters.
Well, yeah, but they were thinking of it like things are okay because nothing like really matters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was nice. They didn't take it as like in a nihilistic way.
No.
It was like a positive way.
Yeah.
Which was shocking.
I don't think our music is nihilistic.
No.
And in like, it's, I mean, especially like the, well, maybe Marx's book club, but well, even that, I mean, it's just like, it's more just like, fuck it. Like who gives a fuck? Just do what you want to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. So that's where we've been the past 2 months, like just kind of doing our own thing and like making all kinds of weird shit happen. Oh, man. Did I say that this is really good rye?
You did say that.
Some of the best.
And it is good.
Best rye whiskey.
But you know what? It tastes so much. I can't tell the difference between this and scotch. I could just be drinking scotch right now.
It is really similar.
I could, the way I just passed your fucking Cheez-It blind taste test, I could not pass a blind taste test with this and scotch.
Respect.
No, not respect.
What?
I don't know. Shut up.
I need some Cheez-Its.
Okay, get some Cheez-Its.
Okay.
We got plenty. I'll take the toasty.
I'll take the plain because I don't taste the difference.
You admitted it.
I know I did. I wish I didn't.
What else do you want to talk about?
What was I going to say? I don't know. What else is there?
Is ska going through a fourth wave, or are people just imitating the third wave?
This is a really good question. I think that ska is... There's some bands that call it... what do they fucking say?
They made up a new name.
New tone.
Come on.
Yeah.
What the fuck does that mean?
It's just kind of like... I feel like a lot of ska from the 90s... You know, it's just like the lyrics are just kind of like
it's so goofy.
Stupid and goofy.
Yeah,
it's goofy. A lot of ska now, like the tone of the songs and like the albums, like take itself. It like it's more serious.
What was the album you showed me yesterday?
Ordinary Life by We Are the Union, and it's about the singer's journey as a trans woman, and the lyrics are so good, and she's like just such a good musician and songwriter, and I listened to this band in high school. And they were awesome back then. But when the lead singer came out as trans, she basically like wrote a whole entire album about her journey. And it's just like, the lyrics are so good. And it's just like, obviously it's fun cause it's ska. And it also channels a lot of like the third wave ska energy, but it's about like really serious content and it's kind of fun.
Yeah. Like Real Big Fish has a song called Beer.
Right. A lot of 90s ska is kind of just silly, but I think a lot of the ska that's coming out now, it's maybe like lyrically a little bit more thoughtful.
So the people who call it new tone, is that essentially them like paving a fourth wave for themselves?
I think so. Yeah. There's a few other bands. There's a band called Kill Lincoln, and the lead singer in that band is a guy named Mike who runs the record company Bad Time Records. And that's where like We Are the Union releases all their music, and some other bands like Catbite, Bad Operation, and a lot of current ska bands.
How about Bad Operation Ivy?
Yeah, I think probably where they got their name is like a blend of like Bad Brains and Operation Ivy.
Oh,
I think that's like a nod to those two groups.
How about Brains Operation?
Or Brains Ivy. Ivy Brains.
Ivy Brains. No, that's like too hoity-toity.
Yeah.
Connecticut.
Yeah.
You got Ivy Brains.
A little too northeastern.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. Yeah. I hear you. Yeah. What else? These are really good Cheez-Its.
Those ones aren't. These ones are. Earlier today, we got something called fucking Italian fries. They're just waffle fries.
Yeah. Now, that's marketing.
That's a marketing scam.
Fucking with us.
Calling them Italian fries.
Yeah. There's nothing Italian about them.
Well, they don't have waffles in Italy. So why would they...
Exactly. I mean, I think maybe it was waffle fries, but maybe they had like some Italian seasoning, oregano or some shit. You know? I don't know. I don't give a shit.
I don't like oregano. I don't put it in my sauce.
I think that fresh oregano is very different from dried oregano.
Oh, fresh oregano. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I have a... I have a fucking refined palate. I'm sorry.
Old McDonald over here.
Yeah, that's right.
Fresh oregano.
Yeah, fresh oregano. Organic.
You've never had fresh oregano in your life.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Let me tell you that.
You would tell me.
I have fresh oregano every day of my life.
You don't have fresh oregano every day of your life.
Every day.
You've never
yes,
had it.
Yes, I do.
You have never had it. Where do you get it every day?
I grow it.
No, you don't.
Yes,
in your basement apartment in Yonkers, you grow oregano?
We have a pot. We have a herb pot.
You have an herb pot.
Yeah.
Sucking ass, this guy.
I'm so sick of you. I do. I am sick of you. I'm sick of myself, too. I hate
well,
myself.
Well, yeah, well, okay.
We don't have to go there.
Who do you think you hate more, yourself or me? It's really tough.
It's a toss-up. I might as well flip a coin. I've never had fresh oregano.
I know you haven't.
Oh yeah. You know what? Also, a couple nights ago, we went to Taco Bell. It was so fucking good.
So good.
You can't go wrong.
Well, it was lunchtime.
Oh yeah.
Spicy potatoes, soft tacos.
It was a late lunch, early dinner.
Okay. Listen, we gotta fucking wrap this up nice for the guests, for the listeners.
Okay. Sick.
Stop chewing in the mic.
Am I chewing?
Well, I was too. I also have to stop chewing in the mic. I just want to keep snacking.
We want to keep snacking, but we want to do it off.
Off mic.
Off mic, yeah.
So? Thank you for a half-assed history of the saxophone.
Oh, that's what this episode was about. I totally forgot.
And just from two people who hate each other to you. Our dear listener, thank you for joining us. We hope you never listen to the saxophone. We hope you do listen to our punk album, because I'm actually more excited about that than anything I've been excited about in a long time. Maybe we'll put something up from tonight. What we played. I said stop chewing in the mic.
I forgot.
You gotta stop drinking.
I'm drunk.
Because, yeah, you know, if you drink anymore, you're gonna snore all night, and I'm not gonna get any sleep.
That's true. You gotta roll me over.
It didn't help.
Fuck. Yeah, so
I probably drank 20 beers, 25 beers this weekend.
That seems reasonable.
This weekend has been fun in some ways because Nick and I have this big hotel room to ourselves, and it's kind of like being roommates again in college.
But it's also very self-destructive.
Nick doesn't flush. His shit is everywhere. What the fuck? He leaves shit stains in the toilet. He poops in the shower.
And Max burns my dick with hot tea.
do not suggest that I did that.
Okay, fine. I did it myself.
It's not my fault you don't like tea jobs.
One other thing that happened this week, and it's really hard to explain why or how this happened, but I, for some reason, put my hand inside Max's coffee.
Oh, yeah, the morning after you burned your dick, burned your hand putting it in my coffee.
Yeah, it was really weird. I don't know. I was making some wild, flamboyant gesture, and my hand landed in Max's coffee cup. So I don't know what happened.
Okay. But. Listen.
Are you chewing over there?
Sorry.
You better stop chewing on snacks.
I'm so sorry.
I'm going to kill you. It's time to drink more.
I got a pack.
Why?
Because we got to be sober enough to drive at 6:45 in the morning.
Oh my God, that's in like a few hours.
Okay. Peace out, y'all. Peace Love you. We'll catch you on the flip. Also, Nick's gonna suck me off later. Everyone can see right through your mind.